Money FM 89.3, best of workday afternoon.
Here on Money FM 89.3, I'm Clarissa Monter for the workday afternoon. Today on Health Suites, we find out if you should hold off on your child's scheduled vaccinations during the COVID-19 pandemic. Some Singaporean parents are understandably concerned about taking their newborn babies and young children to clinics and hospitals. Can they delay some of these shots, or could this compromise their children's immune system in the future? To answer these and more questions we may have, I speak with Dr. Chan Si Min, consultant and head division of pediatric infectious diseases at NUH, coming up right now on Money FM 89.3.
Health Suites with Clarissa Montero on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon and welcome to Health Suites on Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero for the workday afternoon. Joining me on the phone today is Dr. Chan Si Min, consultant and head division of pediatric infectious diseases, NUH. Now, from November, eligible Singaporean children under the age of 18 will receive free vaccinations for diseases such as influenza and chickenpox. This is as part of an enhanced subsidies for nationally recommended vaccines. Now, it is a long list of scheduled vaccinations for our children here in Singapore. We're going to find out all about it from Dr. Chan right now. Dr. Chan, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
It's a pleasure to have you. Now, all of us have had our vaccines. I think every Singaporean child could remember the trauma of the BCG jab in primary six. We know it's essential. So can you bring us up to speed? Run us through the most essential ones that parents have to take their babies and children for after birth.
To be honest, all the vaccines recommended in the National Childhood Immunization Schedule are considered essential, and that's why they are recommended by the government.
Mm-hmm.
As you said, the BCG vaccine is one of the oldest vaccines we've had in our schedule. And the good news is that now it's really only at birth. So it's given to babies when they are newly born in the first 24-48 hours of life.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, they don't remember the trauma of it anymore.
Lucky children.
Yes, we used to have it when we were 11 or 12 years old.
Exactly.
So, you know, now they don't remember that trauma. But, you know, certainly the BCG vaccine is one of the essential vaccines that we consider as fairly routine within the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
The other fairly essential vaccines would be the primary series for babies after birth, hepatitis B. So hepatitis B is given at 3 doses at birth, second dose at 1 to 2 months, and the third dose at 6 months. And then we have a 3-dose series for combination vaccines, which includes diphtheria, pertussis, tetanus, haemophilus influenza, and polio.
Mm-hmm.
And that's 3-dose series, which is now given at 2 months, 4 months, and 6 months old, and they get boosters later when they're older, at 18 months and then 10 years old in school.
Mm-hmm.
The newer vaccines, not terribly new, but have been around for a while, would be the pneumococcal vaccine. That's the 2+1 series, and that's given by 12 months old. And the MMR vaccine is also something that's been around for a long time, 2 doses at 12 and 15 months old. The new inclusion into the schedule is the chickenpox vaccine, which is now also recommended at the same time as the MMR vaccine. So 2 doses at 12 and 15 months old. And as already mentioned, the annual seasonal influenza vaccine is now also recommended for all children from 6 months to 5 years old.
Okay, I'm curious. The chickenpox one is new and a lot of us didn't get it as children. Whatever age we choose to get the chickenpox vaccine at, if we hadn't already gotten chickenpox, is there a booster to that jab?
Yeah, so the chickenpox vaccine actually has been around for, I think, since 1995, 1996.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that it was always an optional vaccine, and now it's kind of recommended as routine in the schedule.
Right.
It's 2 doses. We recommend it at 12 months and 15 months, so
mm-hmm.
time same visits for MMR vaccine. And if you've only had 1 dose, so some of the older children may only have had 1 dose, then we do recommend a second dose to complete the series.
Is it okay if it was years after for the second dose?
Yes, that's right. So even if it's many years after the first dose, you can still receive your second dose.
I see. All right. Now, I do understand that with the COVID-19 pandemic, that some parents would be concerned about visiting clinics with very young infants. Are you seeing that in the clinics, in the hospitals? Is there a risk? Should they delay these shots? Or is it even okay for them to delay these shots?
Yeah, no. So I think think throughout the pandemic, childhood immunization has always been seen as an essential health service.
Mm-hmm.
So there has never been any recommendation to delay vaccines, the
right.
routine ones, or to stop them. So those have always been considered essential, and those services have always continued. But as you say, I think there have been many parents who were concerned about visiting clinics and hospitals,
mm-hmm.
Especially for the young babies. So some babies may have had delayed vaccines, but it's particularly important that vaccines continue to be given during the pandemic, because many of the vaccines protect against potentially serious infections that can have serious consequences in a young infant. So what happens is when you delay the vaccine, it means that that baby is not protected during the most vulnerable period of their life. So even though they may get the vaccine, say, later, in the meantime, they don't have the protection, and that's really the time when they kind of really need maximal protection. The other thing is that some of these infections that we're talking about in the routine vaccinations, so things like rubella, influenza, haemophilus, these infections can have symptoms that are similar to COVID-19, and therefore having the vaccine and preventing the child from having these illnesses also kind of reduces the noise around COVID-19 as well. So they're not suspected to have COVID-19 when actually they might have something else that's vaccine preventable.
That's an interesting point. I hadn't even thought about that. If you're not protected from these other things that present similar symptoms, then you're also delaying treatments on whatever it is that's ailing that child.
Yes, that's right. So I think the idea is that if you get a fever, cough, cold, that could mm-hmm. be influenza. It could also be COVID-19. And honestly, most people would not be able to tell the difference.
Sure.
So what will end up happening is that you get investigated for COVID-19 when actually might be influenza. And that, again, adds to the healthcare burden, adds to going to hospital, to the clinics, or to the emergency department. So, having the vaccine to prevent some of these other infections actually kind of reduces your healthcare exposure in general as well.
Okay, so what you're saying is absolutely do not delay your infant's vaccination schedule.
Yes, that's right.
All right, got it. We're speaking with Dr. Chan Si-min, consultant and head at Division of Pediatric Infectious Diseases at NUH. Immunization visits are frequently combined with a developmental assessment, growth health check on the baby. If a child really can't make the schedule, vaccinations and boosters, does that delay affect any of the other parts of the checks that you do on a newborn, on a new infant?
Yeah, so that's a good question. I think this really depends on the age of the child
mm-hmm.
and if there are any other prior medical concerns. Certainly, if you look at the overall developmental assessment, growth and health checks in the schedule, the newborn and infant health checks are probably more of a priority over those for older children. Similarly, if the child already has a suspected or known developmental delay or some growth problem, then again, those would be priority over other children who are, well and healthy and growing. So certain ones, I think certainly the first 0 to 6 months, those are the ones that we really don't want to delay
mm-hmm.
Because that's the time when we do want to pick up things early and not too late. Whereas, if you have a 2-year-old child who is previously healthy, growing well, no other medical problems, then those developmental or growth checks could perhaps be delayed a little bit later.
All right, let's talk about some of the optional shots. Hepatitis A, for one, is an optional shot. I heard that you mentioned hepatitis B is now in the schedule of shots that are required. It didn't used to be when my children were born as well, because they're quite old. And I think that's great, because when they had the hepatitis B shot, it was actually quite late. They were in primary school, and it was painful and it was traumatic for them. So now that they get it very early, hepatitis B.
Yes, that's right. Hepatitis A is an optional shot. There's not much endemic hepatitis A within Singapore. A lot
sure.
of hepatitis A infection is imported, so related to travel.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, that's considered optional. But it's certainly something to be considered, and that can be given at over 1 year old.
Okay. And what about things like measles and chickenpox? It's now free vaccinations?
Yes. So MMR has always been within the immunization schedule.
Right.
And it's always been subsidized as part of the routine schedule.
Mm-hmm. And I remember getting chicken pox anyway, despite the fact that I had the vaccination for that. Is that still possible now current day?
Yes, that's right. So the chickenpox vaccine, previously was optional, and as of November, is now routinely recommended.
Right.
That's a vaccine that has a very good efficacy, over 97%, 98% efficacy against severe chickenpox, right? So severe chickenpox where you can get complications.
Right.
Whereas the protection for very mild chickenpox is maybe about 70%. So one in three children may still get some form of very, very mild chickenpox after they've had the vaccine. Now, this risk is less when you've had two doses of the vaccine, as is what's recommended. And also, if you do get what we call breakthrough chickenpox after you've had the vaccine, it tends to be very mild. So some children, they have no fever at all. They maybe have one or two spots. And in many cases, it's not even diagnosed as chickenpox because it's really not the classical chickenpox that we might remember from before when you had lots and lots of rash and it was very...
And it was very, very uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's right. It was really nasty. Whereas now, if you do have the vaccine, even if you do happen to get chickenpox, it tends to be extremely mild and sometimes you don't even know that's it.
We're speaking with Dr. Chan Si-min, a consultant and head division of Pediatric Infectious Diseases, NUH. The new normal after the pandemic, and of course we have no idea when after the pandemic is because the tail's going to be quite long by the looks of it. Can you suggest ways for parents to prioritise their children's vaccinations? Is it all now done at clinics or does any of it get done in schools anymore?
Yes. So actually, vaccination schedule is going as per normal.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of trying to prioritize vaccines during the pandemic, I think it's quite challenging. One thing is to look carefully at the schedule and try to plan for the clinic visits ahead of time. So
right.
I find that putting reminders in your diary to schedule the clinic visit is very important because it's very easy to forget when the vaccine is due.
Mm-hmm.
Now, during the pandemic, a lot of clinics have also done a system whereby they have specific time slots for these well-child routine visits. And these are separated from appointments for children who are unwell. So, for example, they have a morning where they just do all their routine health checks and vaccines, and then the afternoon is for children who are unwell. So it is worth phoning your clinic or phoning the hospital to ask whether they have such a system and booking the appropriate appointment. And that means that it reduces your child's exposure to other infections when they go in for a routine vaccine. The other thing that we're trying to do now is that because we do know a lot of children may have had delayed vaccines due to the pandemic, the doctor may sometimes recommend that you receive a routine vaccine when you bring your child for a visit that's unrelated to vaccines. So if you bring your child for something unrelated, if the doctor looks at your schedule and realizes that, hang on, you've missed something that's a little bit late, then they may recommend that you have it there and then while you're there. And that's a good way and a very useful way to prioritize vaccines that we missed out on. Sometimes if it's been very delayed, we recommend a shorter interval between the doses that is considered a catch-up schedule. So there is a minimum interval between doses that you should always adhere to, but sometimes when you're doing catch-up, you just have to stick to that minimum schedule in order to complete the whole course in time so that it's not so delayed.
Do you think that, or is it still practiced where the Ministry of Health, nurses, etc., go into the school system to make sure vaccination schedules are adhered to and you get boosters or what have you while you're in school?
Yeah, so I think the Health Promotion Board mm-hmm. Looks after the children's vaccines when they are in school, and they don't actually check that you haven't missed out on things. So they go in to do the routine vaccines in your schedule during the school health education period. So at 10, 11 years old, they will go in to do vaccines, which is the boosters. And then at Sec 1, Sec 2, they were going to do vaccines again.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of checking what you have missed out on, they don't actually necessarily do that. So for certain vaccines, the Ministry of Health does check when you are sort of 18, 24 months old. If you have missed out on any of the routine vaccinations before then they might send you a reminder letter, especially from MMR. So for measles, mumps and rubella, they
right.
will send you a reminder letter or reminder message to say, your child's 2 years old, hasn't received this, please do remember to do it. And certainly when children register for primary one school, they have to show a certificate of immunization to show that they have completed their childhood immunizations prior to registration.
Right, okay. And post-pandemic, do you think these jabs and these visits will continue or not?
No, I think they will continue, and I think it's even more important that they continue. And in a similar way, it should be done in clinics as well. So when you go to a clinic for any kind of health check or any kind of routine complaint or just a growth check, the doctor usually does look at your vaccine schedule to see whether you've missed anything and then to remind you that actually you do need to catch up on some things. And certainly after pandemic, we would expect that we'll be doing a little bit more of this.
Of catching up.
We might have missed some.
All right. We've been speaking with Dr. Chan Si Min, a consultant and head Division of Pediatric Infectious Diseases at NUH. Thank you, Dr. Chan, so much for giving us the time. It was very, very good information. I think very timely reminders for parents and reinforcing how important vaccinations are.
Yes, thank you for having me.
I'm Clarissa Montero for Health Suites. This is Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.